Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Celtic are back in action this week after last week's epic semi-final with Aberdeen, and it's now match day 34 of the Scottish Premiership as we travel to Dundee to take on Dundee in Sunday's 3 o'clock kickoff. This is Tino with the Counter at Kickoff show, joined here by Paddy for this one. Paddy, your initial thoughts ahead of Sunday's game?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it on Sunday, just after watching the press conference here as well, and just really important words from Rodgers talking about the mindset, just the shift from, you know, wasn't a good performance last week. However, the guys still had the focus, the mental side to get through the 120 minutes in the penalty shootout, and the objective was to get to the final. So here we are. But I loved it addressed to the fact that it was a poor performance, and I think that gives me confidence that he'll have been on top of the players to make sure that they get that right on Sunday. So yeah, really looking forward to seeing how we played against Dundee.
Paddy, apart from the obvious stuff about getting to the final and just generally how important that is, what about from a psychological point of view? You know, the fact that you've come through a bit of a roller coaster of a game, you're behind to start with after 4 minutes or whatever, you're then up in the game, and then you get pegged back twice in the late stages before showing what I would call the mental fortitude to go over the line in a tense penalty kick shootout. So what do you think it does psychologically? You know, you rock up at training on Monday there, you know, after your weekend as a Celtic player, and you know you've got the cup final to look forward to. Joe Hart's been speaking about, from his personal point of view, knowing that that's the final game in his career, and that's obviously a separate issue for him, a huge thing for him. But just as a group of players, they'll have been feeling really good about themselves, sun shining, lots to look forward to at the moment.
They will have been, but I do think that we kind of mentioned a couple of times on Monday, it's a bit of a reset. It's a bit of an awakening that, you know, we can't go another game where we're, you know, pretty much in control and throw away silly goals with minutes to go, seconds to go. It's a nice point just to focus on the concentration up until the final whistle. And nothing silly, you know. We shot ourselves in the foot, I think, with both goals that brought Aberdeen back into it. So it's just about, you know, understanding where each player is, understanding the magnitude of the games that we're getting into now and how important they are, and just, you know, thriving under that pressure. I think that's going to be the big one for a lot of players that maybe haven't experienced that yet. I've said that a few times in the last few weeks, but ultimately I think it's extremely important. And we want the likes of Joe Hart, Callum McGregor, James Forrest, Greg Taylor to really spread that experience, that knowledge over. Great that they got to the final, absolutely, but we kick on. This is the important bit now.
You were on hosting duties this week, Paddy, and exceptional job between yourself, Miff and Joe, so a really good show on Monday night. And one of the questions I seen you asking Miff was about the game against Aberdeen potentially being a timely wake-up call for Brendan Rodgers. Ultimately, the game's finished a draw after 90 and then 120 minutes. And you're better getting this wake-up call now and overcoming it by way of getting to the final than maybe dropping points, you know, in any of these five remaining games. And it's maybe, you know, looking at it from a very glass half full point of view, you know, very positively, it's something that might have just sharpened everything up at Lennox Town this week, and it will certainly have ensured that Brendan Rodgers got that message across to his players that complacency for 1 minute in a game could come back to bite us.
Absolutely, and I think, yeah, it's it's a timely reminder. And as you say, it has came at the right time. We're about to kick off the post-split fixtures now, and we want to make sure that we're given 100% in each of those games. I don't think he will have missed anyone on Monday when it came back to training. I think everyone played a part in the poor side they're defending. A very, very quick goal to lose as well. So ultimately, that's a sign that the midfield's not switched on. The defenders are nowhere near switched on, even though we did talk up how good a pass it is. For the guy to get in that position is extremely easy. So I think that, yeah, it is a nice timely reminder. We might focus on certain players week in, week out that we think are possibly bringing the team down a little. But that was a collective for me last week. So, yeah, I think best time for it to happen is now. And here we go. Let's see how we got on. Let's see how we got on for the remainder.
You mentioned that on Monday he won't have missed some of his players, and rightfully so. Do you think he'll have missed Stevie the Kitman, who seems to be making the headlines again?
Well, you know, I'm laughing away at that there. It was nice to see that was his reaction after your question at the press conference there, Tino. But it's just Pete Rodgers, isn't it? Just some of the stuff he comes away with is brilliant. I kind of like the approach, but also at the same time, like, it must have just been the height, the emotions of it all last week that's made him react the way he did to the kit man. But yeah, absolutely right. He's not a coach. He's not getting any UEFA badges. So I think he was right in saying what he was saying.
Yeah, I think so. So for anyone who doesn't know or who hasn't seen the clip last week, Stevie Wright, who's the kit man at Celtic, or he's one of the kit men at Celtic, and you see him around frequently in the dugout. He seems to have approached Paolo Bernardo just before the penalty kicks. I think Rodgers is trying to get the boys together and give them those final all-important messages. And Stevie then chips in with whatever his important message was. And you then see Brendan Rodgers make a beeline for him, reprimand him, and kind of, you know, usher him off to the side. It was doing the rounds. I asked a question at the press conference today, so I'm at Lennox Town today for that. I didn't ask him about that specifically, but I did ask what message Brendan Rodgers would have been given to the players at that crucial time, and, you know, what was the key to all of that. And he said, well, first things first, make sure your kit man's nowhere near it, and kind of, we're not going to make a joke about it. And I think that's important, because people are always going to be looking to make their headlines. How dare he, you know, treat a guy like that and make a fool of him and all that kind of stuff. Stevie will admit, I'm sure, the kit man, he's overstepped the mark there. But as you say, Paddy, it's emotion and different things. So it's good to see Brendan Rodgers just draw a line under it today in a humorous way. He did then go on to give a really detailed and smart answer on how you do approach penalties from a professional point of view. So that's all over on our Twitter page just now, if anyone wants to check that out. But very generally, Paddy, the vibe I got there today, so we spoke to Brendan Rodgers and Nicholas Kuhn. He was a player that was up for press duty. And there's a very relaxed feel about the place. Not complacent, just relaxed, confident, continue to do the right things. And that's the mood we've now had from Brendan Rodgers for a number of weeks, I think. And I think it's really important that, A, he's acting in such a manner, but I don't think it's put on. You know, I think that's how he genuinely feels. But it's so important that the players then, you know, live off of that and they start to feel relaxed and confident in themselves.
Yeah, I think so. And I think we've spoken about this. There might have been points at the early 2-3 months where a host of new players try to come in, find their feet, learn to live in a new city and understand what the manager is expecting of them. You've then also got a host of players that have been part of the team for a long time, playing very successfully under a system that worked really well for us for 2 seasons, then having to change and tweak some of that as well, and then get an understanding with these guys as well. It doesn't happen overnight. It's impossible. As Celtic fans, we expect it sometimes. We expect players to hit the ground running. I'm guilty of that, the amount of people I've written off after even a bad touch. But that's just the height and the emotion of being a supporter, I believe. Whereas for me now, it's really looking at what he has created. And it seems as if after I put a window, and I think everyone would agree on that, including our manager, it's as if he sat down with the core of the squad and said, look, it's not to say that I don't have the belief in what you can do. Ultimately, there was little bits of disjointment between the team. How do we go ahead with this running? How do we go ahead? Are we going to be the team that's confident in our own ability? Are we going to be the team that's quiet? Are we going to be the team that just gets their head down and got on with it? And it seems as if that's the case. it's given me a lot of confidence for this run-in. Still a long way to go, absolutely. But we are firm favourites, in my opinion, and I think that comes down to the squad buying into what a manager believes in. But it's also just, we've said that again before as well. It's coming down to having the players back at the right time. And as Miff said not so long ago, we are peaking at the right time.
I think so, Paddy. And I think, you know, it's part of all of that. You can't discount the mentality and that element of the game that's required at this stage in the season. You've seen it with Rangers in their last two fixtures. Rangers, on paper, should be beating Ross County, should be beating Dundee. But there's a mental barrier that they've been unable to cross in those couple of games there. And I do think this is where the experience of Brendan Rodgers, Callum McGregor and various others do kick into play. Good comment from San Fran Celtic. He's talking about having his trophy head on for Sunday, which is just another line that Brendan Rodgers came out with today. Just another comment I want to pick up on from Ewan Boy Martin. He's asking, is Brendan aware when it's a question from fan media? Not specifically is the question. So you're all in the room. It's up at the media room in Lennoxtown. There's maybe, I don't know, 10 of us in there at any given time. But from a media point of view, it's the same guys that will be there each and every week. You know, Radio Clyde, different, you know, press guys and whatever. And it's the fan media that change around. So just if anyone's interested, it's on a rota system. There's, I don't know, up to a dozen Celtic fan media outlets. And at any given press conference, two or three of us will be in attendance. So he won't know specifically. There's nothing to say, you know, I'm fan media or whatever. But I think he's aware of the regular guys and who the extras are in the room. So hopefully that gives a wee bit of insight there, Ewan. But listen, thanks to Ewan, thanks to Sean, and thanks to everyone who's joined us here on the live. Always appreciated. Myself and Paddy will now run through the preview for the game. But if anyone's got any questions or comments specifically at any stage, just pop them into the live chat there and we'll try and address them as we go on. Paddy, one of the biggest bits of news that we've heard in the last 48 hours or so is the potential return of Daizen Maeda, the only man who can run off a hamstring injury by the sounds of it. He walked by us today, walked by us in reception at Lennoxtown and went to go up the stairs, literally bounding up them two at a time. No kidding. He looks fresh as a daisy. By all accounts, he took part in the early part of the training session, but not full training. And Brendan Rodgers has said that the tendon seems to have healed. It was a hamstring tendon that was causing the issue. Tim Williamson, who's head of the medical team at Celtic, has said that he's never known anyone like it in terms of how this guy heals. And the hope is that he'll get further tests and further assessment and further rehab at the start of next week, with a view to him potentially being back for Hearts, which is next weekend, the 4th of May. That would be a huge boost, Paddy, particularly with these next couple of Rangers games also on the horizon.
Absolutely. We never thought we would be saying at this point, you know, how much the team will miss Daizen Maeda. I think after we witnessed what his performance at Ibrox a few weeks back, I think a lot of Celtic fans, including myself, realise how important he is to how we press, especially, I'd say, more so against teams that will come out and try and play against us. He does have the odd effective game with teams playing a low block. Doesn't always work out for him, but you want him there for the defensive side of it as well. His pressing is, I've never seen a player doing it up to the 95th minute as much as him. I seen a brilliant tweet today about him not making training. I think Sky Sports had put out today, Daizen Maeda doesn't train today. And someone commented underneath saying, oh, he finished already.
He's taking the reins up the road, taking them in a straight, come back, blah, blah, blah.
He's an enigma, as we've said many times before, Tino, but he's just an absolute joy to have in our team as well. And I think, he'll be crucial for this run-in. I really believe that.
Yeah, you know, we've made all the comments about Maeda. There's nothing left to say. He's such an enigmatic footballer, and there's some moments of brilliance, some moments of nonsense. I was chatting today about, I was at the Hibs game at Easter Road, whenever that was, February-ish, Adam Eda scored these couple of penalties. And I was watching part of the warm-up. I think I told this story at the time, but watching the warm-up, Daizen Maeda was working with, I think it's Adam Sadler, the new coach that replaced Harry Kewell. And for about 5 minutes pre-match, Sadler was just feeding Maeda in on the left wing position, and he was just firing low and hard balls across the box. He must have done it about a dozen times, just feeding it, crossing it, good stuff. 5 minutes into the game, first chance, shells it over the bar from a left position. And, you know, it's like, you know, folks would say, myself, you'd say, surely he practices these. He does, but it still doesn't mean the next one is not going to be shelled out the park. So it's just Daizen Maeda. He is who he is, and you've just got to love him and appreciate what he brings to the team. And I think, like a lot of key players, you definitely notice their absence most when they find themselves out for any given reason. So hopefully he's back soon. That'll be a huge boost. And that aside, Paddy, Celtic have kind of got a clean bill of health. I seen Martin in the comments asking about what's going on with Celtic's medical team. Not much wrong right now, I'd have to say. Injuries can happen as part of football, but at the moment, at the optimal time in the season, you know, we seem to be getting the majority of the players back to full fitness, which is a huge boost. So on that, Paddy, what's your team looking like starting with defence? And it's a topic we keep revisiting because of what has now become, I would say, a wee bit of patchy form from Liam Scales. He came in for a lot of criticism last week. And this isn't, you know, people go, oh, Scales bashing and all that stuff. Really, you know, big fan of Liam Scales and what he does. And you've got to admire anyone who's maxing out on their talent. But I think he's potentially had his best spell of the season. You know, this is, you can't say with any accuracy, but he just seems to be dipping and not at a great time. He has been called into question for Aberdeen's second and third goals, although not a, you know, it's he's not alone in that. Alistair Johnson should be getting out far quicker to press the or prevent the cross coming in. Greg Taylor could potentially be doing more covering at the back post. But what do you think? You know, where are you at on Liam Scales in general at this very moment in time? And does he start again on Sunday?
I think he starts. I think he will start. I just don't see Rodgers budging at all with it. I've said for a long time, it's not just been in this latest run-in. I've said for quite a while, Tino, that I think that I fit Navrotsky should be getting the run-in. And there just must be something that Rodgers just isn't seeing. I spoke the other night, is it a loyalty thing in terms of what Liam Scales has done this season, and is it a reward for, you know, being there and being a part of it pretty much every game? I think that's what I'm seeing personally, because I don't see it on a football ability side. It sounds very, very harsh, but I just think that Navrotsky has given us a bit more in that position. But there's something that Rodgers just isn't sure about there as well. So for me, I would love to see Navrotsky and Carter Vickers for the running. I've said that for several weeks now. But I think it'll be Liam Scales and Carter Vickers on Sunday.
I think you're right, Paddy. I just think it's clear that when he's had a decision to make, you know, Scales obviously missed the game a couple of weeks ago through injury, but as soon as he's back fit and available, he seems to slot in. Now, this is something I'm pretty sure Brendan Rodgers will be looking to address in terms of the summer, in terms of making sure there's better quality available. But right now, you've got to work with the tools you've got, and I think of the various options he's got, and he's got a few at centre-half, you know, Lagerbielka, Kobayashi's in the building somewhere. I think Liam Scales and Cameron Carter-Vickers are his preferred choice. It is always going to be Carter-Vickers, right? So it's Carter-Vickers plus one, and it seems to be that it's Liam Scales. And I think you're right. I think, you know, it'd be unusual to see him make that change at this stage now. You suggested a couple of weeks ago that there was maybe an opportunity for Navrotsky, given that he had the shot. What was that game now then? Was that St Mirren?
3-0, clean sheet as well, and he played an hour. And even Stephen Welsh came in and slotted in quite comfortably as well. Listen, I take nothing away from the fact that it was a bit of a pressure pot last week in terms of the Aberdeen game, and a guy that's just came back from injury as well. So there's small factors like that for Liam Scales, but the ability side is just lacking for me, and that's the concern.
Yeah, so I do think he'll start, and I hope that the support's fully behind him. I was chatting to Miff earlier on, and he was saying, you know, talking us through his nerve-wracking experiences on Saturday at Hampden, same as yourself, Paddy, you know, huge relief after the game and all that stuff. But Miff was saying that there was a palpable tension from the stands at different times for, you know, when Liam Scales was in possession and some of the things he'd done. The biggest one was when effectively he's gone and challenged Carter Vickers for a header. You know, Carter Vickers looks like he's on it. He's challenging with probably Majovski at the time, and Scales just gets in his path. And for me, that's a guy that's maybe all of a sudden become nervous and anxious and maybe trying too hard and losing his way a wee bit. So it's a concern. I would only hope and I would expect that he'll be fully supported from the stands. You can question a guy's ability, of course he can, and it's something that we'll do as part of what we do here on the show. But once you step across that line and, you know, you've got your Celtic shirt on your back, you should be fully supported from those in attendance, and hopefully that'll be the case on Sunday and beyond. Paddy, we've obviously skipped by man of the moment, and he is man of the moment, Joe Hart. So hell of a weekend last weekend, as we covered. Turned 37 on Friday, taking penalties, saving penalties on Saturday. Just a quick one, if Celtic got a penalty in the 90 minutes, is he taking it for us on Sunday?
No. Mattarelli's been Mr. Cam with him lately, so it has to be him.
I think so. But Joe Hart continues to show his leadership skills. He's got, all going well, you know, keeping fit and stuff, 6 games left of his career. And we've spoken about this in recent shows. He's now just chipping away, counting down everyone, but relishing every last minute on a football park. So great to have him back between the sticks on Sunday. Going to the midfield then, Paddy. Callum McGregor, again, fair to say, not quite at his best there on Sunday, or Saturday, sorry. He's continuing his steady recovery, you know, his reintroduction to the team from his injury there that ruled him out. And he's been getting a wee bit more each time, hasn't he? You know, kind of 20 minutes here, 30 minutes there, and then was it maybe 60 at Hampden? I need to double check. Something like that. But not at his brilliant best, not ticking along just yet, which is maybe understandable.
Yeah, I think it's, you said in the press conference today, it's just kind of like managing it as best as they can. They're not throwing him back in. And I think the question asked today, would we see Callum McGregor play 90 minutes? I've actually got a sneaky suspicion he might go with Iwata on Sunday. Okay. And bring McGregor in with maybe 40 minutes to go. I'd probably prefer to see McGregor try and get 90 minutes against Hearts next week than what's probably looking like a very dodgy park on Sunday. So I would maybe think he might switch it and then just, you know, let McGregor have the momentum coming into the game, whether that be 55, 60th minute mark, and see what kind of performance he brings to us then. Because there's a lot of times when he's coming off and we know that he's not up to match speed yet, but you're losing the influence of him as well. And it's just a little bit of a, I don't know, that worries me in the sense of we seem to lose these goals pretty easily. And I know he was at fault for one of the goals at Ibrox, but we seem to lose these goals at the end when his influence isn't on the park. So I wonder if he changes it up. He might just go for him for the beginning, just get another hour, 70 minutes into his legs and take it for there. But I don't know, just with this park, it's just concerning me a little bit with Callum McGregor.
Yeah, do you know, it's an interesting comment you make, Paddy, and it's very similar to what we see on the screen from Mazar Youssef. Mazar's a good friend of the show, and he says, very similar, that the game management was poor when Callum McGregor went off against Aberdeen, and that Mazar himself suggests that we maybe start Iwata and bring Cal Mac on for the last 30 minutes or so to see the game out. And I think, you know, again, referencing the Aberdeen game on Saturday, you would like to think that if McGregor was in there and either in the closing stages of the 90 or closing stages of extra time, he is the guy that would just have the cool head, generally speaking, and slow the play down, run the chance. Game management's the term, isn't it? You know, just kind of control proceedings from a very central position. And you wonder, when he's not there and doing that, if the other guys, talented as they are, don't quite have that in the locker. It's a fairly unique skill set. It's the job of a captain, it's the job of a leader, and we do notice that when it's not there. But I would agree with, listen, every point is a prisoner just now. Every game is huge, and Dundee's the next big game. But I do think with a view to the Hearts game the following week, maybe it makes sense just to keep him fresher for that one. He missed the game at Tynecastle, did he? I need to check that.
I think so.
But you know just how he did, because Iwata got caught in, didn't he? But you know just how important he is, you know, to what we're doing there. And I think it's a call for Brendan Rodgers to make. I think generally speaking, we know that Iwata's not as effective as Callum McGregor, but he's really let us down. You know, he does a different role. He's not as creative as Callum McGregor. He doesn't have that pass, but he, you know, generally speaking, puts on a really decent show in there in the number six and keeping things firmed up. So let's see what he goes with. I'm going to pencil in Iwata under your name, Paddy, as a starter. Is he joined by O'Reilly and Hitati? Is that just a given?
That's a given.
Yeah.
I'd kind of like to see a little bit more from them. I think that I could see very, very frustrated figures on Saturday in terms of not getting the ball quick enough. But I was also kind of looking at some of the positions and, yeah, all right, you might be instructed to pick up a certain area of the park to receive the ball, but when it's not working, how do you combat that? How do you change that? You need to drop a little bit deeper and you need to hope that your wingers come and meet you at that point as well. I just felt that sometimes I was catching Hitati and O'Reilly just almost in a little bit of hiding at certain points of the game on Saturday. But again, it needs to come out for the back quicker as well. I see that side of it too, but I want players that want the ball.
Yeah. What do you think of Matt O'Reilly just now? So he's had an up and down season, mostly up, right? I think he's certainly one of, if not the favourite, for the kind of Player of the Year awards, and rightly so, particularly given the first half of the campaign that he had. He himself has admitted that he went off the boil a wee bit after the Atletico Madrid speculation. Mm-hmm. He spoke in the last few weeks about that and said that it maybe did impact him, you know, in a way that he wasn't sure it would have. And I think that's natural, isn't it? That would and might still be a potentially life-changing move for a footballer. You know, they're one of the big guns in Europe. And it's clearly hampered him. And he did go through a phase there where he was off the boil, as I say. And since then, what you've had is maybe, I think you've had parts of the good Matt O'Reilly back, but he's not, I don't think he's putting in 90-minute performances at this moment in time. And I don't say that lightly. I just mean that at times in games, he's drifting out and then he'll pop up with a huge moment, the likes of the third goal against Aberdeen. So where do you think he's at head-wise? And again, I'll repeat, we know for sure that Joe Hart is looking at the last half dozen games of his career. Are we looking at the last half dozen games of Matt O'Reilly's Celtic career?
Possibly. I don't know. I think you know, he's got a very strong opportunity again, and I think that the decision possibly will come from if he's included in the Euro squad for Denmark. I think if he gets the nod while still at Celtic, he might think about another season in terms of the Champions League next year, in terms of hopefully being promised that we're looking at potential stronger signings for next year. That may entice him, because I do think he loves it here. Mm-hmm. But what I'm seeing is a player that looks a bit tired. I think he is in and out of the games at the moment, but he's still got a ruthless streak to him. I felt last week at probably 70, 80 minutes, he looked as if he was carrying. I thought he looked really like off the ball, and I was surprised at the subs made, and he was still on the park, actually. And then he just pops up with a Matt O'Reilly goal, and that's why he's there. He does look tired at points, O'Reilly, but he's still got a good engine in him as well. He still gets about the park. I thought in the second half of the season, from the beginning of January, I thought his performance at Ibrox was brilliant. I really did. I think he did come under some criticism, but the amount of tracking back and the amount of mopping up that he does is really, really impressive. You don't drop a guy like Matt O'Reilly. For me, he's still Player of the Year. He really is, and I think he'll be destined to have a good run in as well.
I think so, and I think you're right to highlight some of the defensive stuff he does. We're not huge, you know, on our show in terms of the Opta stats and the different tracking that you can do on players, but you can just, you know, we can use the eye test like everybody else, and you can see the amount of interceptions he makes, the amount of times he gets back into good positions to defend. We've seen it notably when he covered for Callum McGregor last season in the number six. And it's another side to his game that I think is not always appreciated. You know what? Most of us, myself included, you think of Matt O'Reilly, you think silky left-footed player, goals and assists. And of course, they're a huge part of his game. But as are the defensive games, that's why you can see that he'll be such an attractive proposition to Atletico or anyone else that's looking at him, because I don't want to use the term, he's the complete midfielder, but he's not far away. You know, he's got all the things that you'd want from your midfield. So hopefully he can switch it on again on Saturday, Paddy. And yeah, I think it's going to be him and Rio Hitati up ahead of possibly Iwata or Callum McGregor. Up top, the wings are obviously a big subject of debate at this moment in time. You and I done the pre-match last week, didn't we, about this time? We previewed the Aberdeen game. And you were suggesting at the time, and it's certainly been proven a very decent suggestion, that James Forrest was potentially due a start. From Brendan Rodgers' press conference today, it's about 16 minutes long. It's available in full on YouTube for anyone that wants to check it out after this. It's 16 minutes long, and honestly, it feels like about 11 or 12 of them were spent on James Forrest. Two or three different questions were asked at different times, and the manager was more than happy to wax lyrical about James Forrest, talking about his professionalism, the example he sets to the younger players, particularly the younger wingers at Celtic. He said he's one of the most talented wingers he's ever worked with in terms of taking the ball in tight spots under pressure on the touchline. Various things that he couldn't have spoke higher of James Forrest. I was digging into it a wee bit. It's something I've mentioned on the show before. James Forrest didn't play 1 minute of football for the whole of January or the whole of February. And I think he then get minutes on the 3rd of March in a game. Might have been Hearts, need to check. But he didn't get minutes, I think, for 8 or 9 consecutive games. And Brendan Rodgers conceded that the player himself will maybe have felt he was due more minutes, and the manager conceded that he should potentially have given him those minutes. Can't do anything about that now. Can't roll back the clock. Can't change that. But what you can do is now work with a James Forrest who's shown his worth. I don't know if he's got many starts left in a Celtic shirt, but he's proven in recent weeks there that he's still got something valuable to contribute. He's not just coming off the bench as a gesture, you know, we'll get me Jamesy some minutes and we'll get my win bonus. It's none of that. He's coming on and he's having an impact, and there's certainly a strong case for him for starting on Saturday, Paddy.
Sunday. There is. Yeah. There is, Tino, and I think, you know, that's the big debate, isn't it? Is he going to be an impact player coming off the bench, or is he going to put in a good hour and hopefully, you know, job done by then? I think they might start him on Sunday. I think, especially with the potential return of Maeda, just a reward for him coming off last week and really, you know, taking the game in the horns and putting his back in control. I've got a feeling that he may be rewarded for that. I don't think you'll get more than an hour out of him, just with the fact that he hasn't been playing. But I tell you what, I know a manager would rather, with our 3-0 up at half-time, 4-0 up, and come there the early bits of the second half, and then happy to take him off then. So I think he deserves that. I think he's been very patient. I found that interesting when Roger said that about the maybe I've made a mistake here in terms of it. We were all very quick, and again, including myself here in this, we were all very quick to say that time is up. There's plenty of wingers still kicking a ball that are past the age of 32 and playing at a high level as well, and we forget that. And he does keep himself fit. So, yeah, I don't know if it's done yet.
Yeah, I think that's an important point. He's, despite his lack of game time, he's shown up in peak condition. He's clearly looking after himself, doing the right things, you know, away from training as well. You can tell that he's eating right and looking after his body, so that when he's called for, whether it's with 5 minutes to go or 30 minutes to go, or potentially a start, as may be the case on Sunday, he's good to go, and he's off on a lot. I think he's a professional that takes pride in that. You know, if James Forrest were to move on from Celtic this summer, he wouldn't just go and go through the motions somewhere. He's a guy that seems pretty mature now. He's grown up, he's experienced a lot as a footballer. You know, he's been in Celtic's first team for 15 seasons, something like that. But I think, you know, looking at the here and now, I think he's still got plenty to offer over these next half dozen games or so. I think he gets the nod as well. I really do. I think he starts, and I don't think James Forrest is a 90-minute man anymore. I don't think that's the case, and I don't think he would try and, you know, kid on that's the case. But the modern game allows you to get a good 60, and you freshen it up by making your changes. So, yeah, so we'll pencil Forrest in on the right-hand side. It's got to be Nicholas Coon on the other side, hasn't it?
Yeah. He's impressing me. Quiet at the moment in terms of like what he'd done in the end of March, going into the beginning of April. But he is impressing me. I think he's just really starting to bed in. Still a player that's just finding his feet. And we still just need to be a little bit patient with that. And he's still quite consistent at the moment. Thought he took the goal well. You know, it's landed easy for him. Still just a good finish. Good finish to you know, score that under the pressure we were under with being 1-0 down. And he'll take confidence from that as well. But want to see a bit more from him. I think, you know, what we're noticing it, as we've mentioned quite a lot lately, that a lot of teams are putting us into our left side. It's our weakest side at the moment. So I would like to kind of see the distribution coming from Joe Hart to Carter Vickers or Alistair Johnson and getting us down the right side a bit more.
Yeah, maybe so, just for a bit of balance. But I think Nicholas Coon has shown enough to continue to start. As I've mentioned, he was also, you know, speaking to press today. And as I said, quite a confident young man in general, but again, just seems pretty relaxed. And keeping in mind, he's only been in the country for what, 3 months, give or take, you know, since his January move. So you're still finding your feet in general in terms of the off-the-park stuff. But he seems pretty comfortable where he's at now. And I think we've spoken before about his fitness issues when he arrived. I think he's addressed them, and I think he's good to go. So I think he'll get the nod. When we were having this very chat last week, Paddy, again, it was a live show we recorded last Friday. We were talking about Coon and Yang obviously came up, and there was a lot of noise about Yang struggling. You know, a lot of negative noise in the chat and the comments about the fact that he wasn't ready, and some guys were saying we need to park him until next season, and you know, he's a project we need to work on. I pushed back on that, and I'll continue to do so, because I think he's shown the talent he's got. He came into a very decent run of form, and all of a sudden his red card at Hearts just hampered his momentum, and he fell back out again. I'm not banging the drum for him to start on Sunday, but I still believe off the bench, particularly coming off the bench actually in a 30 minutes where he's maybe coming up against tired, you know, fullbacks, I do think he's got a lot to offer. But are you maybe not so sure on it yourself?
I've seen glimpses of it, Tino, and I kind of see where you're coming from in terms of the ability. It's the mental side. I don't think it's quite there yet. I think he's still quite naive to the full running of a 90-minute game of football, personally. And what I'm meaning by that is that we go back to the red card, we can dispute it. There's no need for him to put his foot up like that. I think there's been moments in other games where he's been quite rash, he's been quite clumsy in the challenge as well. And there also just seems like he has bereft of confidence. And this is what I'm going back to in terms of is having players that know what it takes to go and do it. And then you see the making of the players that are buying into that. They want to do everything for the team, and they are going to get there with it. But you also see the ones that get caught and like they look like a rabbit in the headlights. And I think he's in that bracket for me just now. Can he have an impact? I don't know. I still think back to that game at Rugby Park in December, and he came on and he just looked lost. He looked scared. And I think that he is the perfect description of a confidence player. I think he's got it in the locker, like with his technical abilities, I've said, but it's the mental side that I'm questioning.
And I think it's always highlighted, particularly when you play on the wings. You know, I think anyone generally, and I'm sure people will dig up some good examples that disagree with this, but generally speaking, if you sign for Celtic as a winger, you must have some talent. You must have a reasonable level of talent. But it's one thing having it in your locker, to use your own term there. The other thing is showing it every time you get an opportunity. And wingers, very generally speaking, as you've also said, are confidence players. You know, they need to have a run of good games. They need to have the full back and the manager. They need the support, you know, on side with them. And I think Yang will concede that it's been an inconsistent season for him. You know, first season in Scotland, huge move. He's still 21. He's not 22 till May. So, young man, huge move to the other side of the world. And a lot of pressure on his young shoulders. He has two compatriots. So, O doesn't get any minutes now. He's not around. And as we know, the Kwon is over at St Mirren doing his thing. So, he's the kind of the lone South Korean as such, you know, getting frequently played in and around the first team. And I think you're probably always going to get a wee bit of that inconsistency. We spoke about the fact that he maybe is or maybe always was planned as a development player, but all of a sudden he ends up getting far more minutes than you anticipated. But I do think he's got plenty to offer. We're going to get good evidence in the next few weeks as to just how much a part he'll play in the running. But I think he'll have some key moments. I think he's a talent. And I think maybe coming off the bench certainly comes with less pressure than starting at this moment in time. And maybe that will suit him till he finds his feet again. So I've got my fingers crossed for him, and hopefully it proves me right in the coming weeks. Through the middle, Paddy, there's different suggestions. So Gypsy King, that we know well, he's suggesting a 4-4-2 to get Kyogo and Adameda playing together. I don't see any change of that nature happening. You know, he's not going to change his system at this late stage. But what do you think of the ongoing battle with, you know, between Adameda and Kyogo up top?
Listen, two good strikers. People might disagree with me here, but two informed strikers. I think Kyogo's still doing a really good job at the moment. It's not his best season. We would all agree with that. Service hasn't been there for him, but ultimately we know he can bring a lot more to the table as well. But if you look at his form over the last maybe, what, 5-6 weeks, he's ramped it up a bit. And I generally think that he's got, it's his jersey to the end of the season. Ida will be the impact player for us and a good one at that as well. But it all comes from, are we quick enough in the transition to get through the lines and get the ball to Kyogo before the runs are made? That's what sometimes we see missing. And he cuts a frustrating figure, at times when that happens. So it's his jersey. As I've said, and I'll say again, he's the best striker for me since Henrik Larsson. He's got to start every game.
Yeah, I agree with that, Paddy. I think he's the main man, and you know, at this pivotal time, if it was enforced upon Rodgers and he had to start with Adam Eder, I think we're all okay with that. I think Eder's proven himself to be a pretty competent striker, and he's played a big part with some crucial goals so far. But Kyogo is the main man, and he has been for the last couple of seasons at Celtic. Yes, he's not hit the same heights this time around, but he's so crucial for Celtic at crucial times. And when it's really required, when the chips are down to an extent, he's often the man that steps up and gets us out of jail. So, yeah, I think it would be the right move to start Kyogo again at the weekend. And what it does give you, Paddy, you know, just scribbling as we're chatting here, is very decent options off the bench in terms of guys that you would call game changers. Adam Eder, absolutely. Paulo Bernardo certainly has it in his locker. Louis Palma, there's a version of Louis Palma in there somewhere that can be very effective. He's spoken about some confidence issues recently, but we'll pick that up on another show. And Yang, that I've mentioned as well, if he doesn't start, he's the guy that would be keen to come on and have an impact. And I say this frequently, but you don't win league titles with 11 players, 11, 12, 13 players. It's very much a squad game, particularly now given the five sub rule. And whether guys start, Paddy, or not, there's a huge part for everyone here to play at Dundee and beyond.
Yeah, as I say, I think what we do see now is, especially even after the game on Saturday, is a buy-in from everyone. I think everyone that's involved in the squad will just want to be, you know, driving the team, making sure that everyone's supporting each other. I think he's been very clever. We've still got a bit of deadwood at the team, and it doesn't seem to be that there's much noise there. The only thing I seen this week was an article over in Sweden from Lagerbielke, basically saying that he's took up Lego. Good for him.
The man's got time in his hands, Paddy.
It's a clear sign that Rodgers is just not buying into it at all. So he said, though, about the training side, he said about, you know, show me why I should play you. So I don't think you can do that with Lego. Good stuff. But I wish you all the best.
Yeah, it's just another puzzler, isn't it? It's another reflection on the fact that things just weren't right from a recruitment point of view at Celtic. And hopefully, again, you know, a subject for another show, but hopefully that's stuff that's getting addressed in the summer. Paddy, a quick look at Dundee. I would say most of us here would have had a decent look at them last Wednesday when they took a point off Rangers, or took 2 points off them. Depends what way you want to look at that, but they drew with Rangers. And I thought they were decent. They weren't just kick and rush, hammer throwers, playing for set pieces. They try to play football. And then guys like Luke McCowan, if I've got his name right, he was very impressive in the day. And they've got some really decent options in there. And Tony Docherty's picked up some decent plaudits, least of all for the fact that he's secured them top six football, which I think is a real achievement for a team like Dundee. And they'll be bang up for this one. They'll be full of confidence and very potentially keep to play with that freedom that they clearly showed against Rangers.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, we keep forgetting we're looking at Celtic and we're thinking, right, every game's about us at the moment. But St Mirren and Dundee, as we mentioned on Monday, are fighting out for fifth place. And it's very close. And that's guarantee a crack at Europe next season. So it's going to be a big game for Dundee. I think we just need to be switched on for that. I think it'll be a challenging game. Have we got enough about us to beat them? We've got enough about us to beat any team in the league. And that, if we show up and do the right job, then yeah, we should be fine. But they've had a great season. A kind of collection of some of the old SPFL players from other teams. I just seen a guy mentioned there, talking about Joe Shaughnessy being out for the rest of the season. I do think that is a good help for us there. But good experience in the types like Lamy. And I think that, like you mentioned, the guy McCowan, I thought he ran the show a week ago on Wednesday. I thought he was very, very comfortable in the game. So, yeah, how do we combat that? It'll be up to the team.
True. And, you know, again, we talk about the fact that it will be a challenge, of course it will, but if you aren't taking care of Dundee, if you're not beating Dundee in the running, then you know, you'd argue that you wouldn't deserve to win a league title if that's the case. So, very important game. Huge from a, you know, a mentality point of view. But if Celtic and the right version of Celtic turn up, Paddy, we do get the win. There's no doubt there's a driver there. There's a motivation for Dundee. They're only 2 points off St Mirren, all games equal. St Mirren obviously play Rangers is at 12 or half 12 on Sunday, and we then play at 3 o'clock. I think both games are on Sky, which is quite unusual, but that's just something the running throws in. And they'll be very driven knowing that there's a very genuine chance of fifth. So I'm not clued up on this. Does fifth get you Europe? Is that
after the result on Saturday, it gets you a European place.
Because both Celtic and Rangers are in the cup final, so that opens up the fifth place. I mean, what an incentive for Dundee. Did they just get promoted last year? I need to clue myself up before I come on these shows. But yeah, you know, they're just up. Tony Docherty obviously has first season in management, having spent a lot of time under Derek McInnes. And I think that's incredible. They'd be happy with sixth position. They'd certainly taken that at the start of the season. But once you get there now, and I heard Tony Dock say this, you're kind of revising your targets because you find yourself in a position where why would you not go for it? And I think they showed that when they do play with a bit of freedom, they can play some really good stuff. But Paddy, to bring it back to Celtic, spoken a lot, covered a lot of issues there. Pretty strong squad, you know, Dyson, the only notable absence at this moment in time. So what do you think we're going to see in terms of scoreline prediction for Sunday?
I'm going to go 2-1. I think it could be quite close. I think that there seems to be just a little bit of a weakness at the back at the moment. And, you know, as I said, that goal in the first 5 minutes on Saturday was really easy. So I do think that we can just ship easy goals with this team, but I do think we've got too much going forward. So I think 2-1 will be a stuffy game, but I think we've got enough about it to go and see the job through.
Yeah, do you know, very genuinely, we take any sort of result for the remaining six games over performance. We can and often do more performance at different times in the season, but at this stage in the season, there is nothing more important results. So I would be taking 1-0s, 2-1s, 9-8, Paddy, if that's what it comes to get us over the line. I do think we're in a good place, though. I'm going to go 3-0, and that's not to be dismissive. I think Celtic will be hurting from the concession of three goals last week. I think they'll be working and focused to, you know, to make sure we keep the clean sheet this time around. Mazar, again, in the comments, quite rightly referenced the fact that Celtic won 7-1 last time out. And I say that to highlight the fact that Dundee will be hurting from that. Professionally, that's a sore one to take, and this is our first chance to redeem that. So there's no doubt they'll be motivated. We've spoken about that and you know, what's in store for them potentially if they get fifth place. But I just think, to go back to Brendan Rodgers and the tone and the messaging at this moment in time, it's relaxed but focused. That's what I'd say. That's the two keywords I'd use. They're in a good shape. You know, there's no anxiety, and they're focused on the target, the dual target, you know, obviously being the League and Cup. But let's stay focused, you know, one game at a time. And I think we're in a good place to take care of Dundee. So I'll go for 3-0, Paddy. But we'd be more than happy to take your 2-1 if that's what it comes to. Paddy, your final comments as we start to wrap this one up.
Yeah, just looking forward to Sunday. I think I want to see us go and put on a professional display. I'm with you in what you're saying in terms of I'll take it anyway in terms of the performance for the rest of the season. If it's scrappy and we still win, that's the main point there. But I think there will be a lot of them just looking to right a few wrongs from last week. I do still see vulnerabilities. I still think there'll be vulnerabilities in that starting 11 if it remains the same for the remainder of the season. But that's all right, because we know we need to improve. So if we still keep punching above our weight at the moment in terms of getting the results, which we have been doing lately, then we win the league. So excited to see how it goes. I think it'll be I do think it'll be quite a tight game. They did impress me the other week. I know Mazar speaking about the 7-1 game. It's different at Celtic Park. We need to remember it's a different setup, different atmosphere. I think that does come into it as well. But should be a good game. I'm just excited to see how we progress in this runner.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's a huge game. They all are, Paddy, aren't they? Everyone's important at this moment in time. And I don't think we'll get anything easy than they have impressed recently. And they're in top six for a reason, but hopefully another big day for Celtic. Huge thanks to everyone that's joined us in the live. Quick mention for Daniel McAlpine. Daniel joins us quite a lot, and he says hello from South Africa. So maybe their furthest travel cell at this moment in time. He's excited and looking forward to both games on Sunday. But very generally, thanks to everyone who's joined us here on the live. Thanks to everyone who continues to listen to the podcast. We'll be back shortly after the game. So 3 o'clock kickoff on Sunday. I'd say we'll be around about the back of five, sometime like that, Paddy. So in the meantime, thanks to yourself. Thanks to everyone who's joined us. We'll see you again very soon.
Social Podcast Network.